Before we begin our study, we'd like to pray. Would you join with me? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. We're reading from Deuteronomy, and in many ways it is a recap of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, and it's helpful to read Deuteronomy because it underlines certain things and gives them additional importance as well. In Deuteronomy, we may pick up other details that were not covered in the previous books. But it's helpful for us as we're continuing in our Kadima focus. What does Kadima mean? Forward. And another word, charge. Charge. Well, this week's Torah portion recaps several very important ideas that help us move forward as we look to God for breakthroughs. How many people need a breakthrough you can't get on your own? You know, there are breakthroughs you can get, and there are breakthroughs you can't get, and there are breakthroughs that come from God. And God is very clear. When he gives you the breakthrough, he wants credit for it. He wants you to give thanks. When you're praying to him and he answers, then he expects you to say thank you. You know the old story about the guy who was he was desperate to get to his doctor's office. He couldn't find a place to park, and he said, "Oh God, if you'll give me a place to park, I really will tithe." And immediately he saw that there was an open space where there had been none. And then he said, "Ah, never mind, I found one." Sometimes, even if we get a quick answer to prayer, even if we get a quick answer, we don't always give God credit for the answer. Well, if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. I want to look at a verse, verse 22, that explains something about God's plan for Israel. It says this: "The Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. You will not be allowed to eliminate them all at once, or the wild animals will multiply around you." You see, God was using Israel to take possession of the promised land because the nations that were living there had become so evil, and they were doing the most evil and awful of things that they forfeited their right as nations to continue to exist and to continue to have land and territory. Nevertheless, as Israel is preparing to go into the land that God promises, God says, "I can't give it to you all at once, because if I give it to you all at once, wild animals will multiply around you. You're not prepared to be fully responsible all at once. You're going to have to get it," how? "Little by little." Now, the way you say "little by little" in Hebrew here is ma'at, ma'at. You repeat it, ma'at, ma'at. In modern Hebrew, you'll see Israelis go la'at, la'at, which means, you know, slow down or slowly. But ma'at, ma'at, old Hebrew, biblical Hebrew, means little by little. Say ma'at, ma'at one more time. Ma'at, ma'at. That's good. Now, some breakthroughs come ma'at, ma'at. They come little by little, not all at once. But that doesn't mean they're not big breakthroughs. It means you get a little bit, and then you get a little bit more, you get a little bit more, and it keeps increasing. Now, there are certain things that are really important for us to attain that we can't get all at once. I'll give one example. Education. You can't get it all at once. Isn't that right? How many of you went to kindergarten? Can I see? And how many of you graduated successfully? Okay, this is a highly educated group. None of you adults got left behind. That's good. Every class, every year is important, and it requires reading, study, work. Isn't that right? Those of you that are in school, isn't it true? Right? And it's impossible to get it all at once. Sometimes you might have a professor, for instance, who thinks that they can feed you information like a fire hose shooting water at you. And they dump information on you, but that doesn't mean you can get it all at once. If you could get it all at once, you know what? You would just need to listen online to enough lectures and you'd be brilliant. But it doesn't work like that. Many things you have to listen to, learn, and then put into practice. You have to attempt to do and then discover what do you have to change in how you're doing. You have to develop disciplines. You have to develop habits. You have to develop skill, ability, and so forth. Now, there are other things that require ma'at, little by little, for the breakthrough as well. Here's another one, a pregnancy. You don't just get pregnant and then the next day have a baby. Why? Because the baby has to develop, right? All human beings have to develop. In fact, after a person is born, they still have to develop. Aren't you glad you don't give birth to teenagers, moms? And we don't have to raise them or feed them. I mean, it's hard enough to feed a newborn. To feed a teenager is a whole other challenge. There are so many things in life that require little by little progress, that require dedication and require time. How many of you have a fruit tree planted in your yard? Can I see a show of hands? What kind of fruit do you have? Just call some out. Yeah, I shouldn't have said that because I heard nothing. I just heard all these voices up here. Okay, over here. Fig. Pecan. Kumquat. How many have kumquats? Look at that, a few kumquats here. It's Florida. Aren't we glad? What are the kinds of fruit? Papaya. Wow, that's nice. Big. Anybody have pomegranates? Orange. Pear. Grapefruit. Apricot. Not so many down here. Just testing you. Lots of different fruit. And do you know that it takes time for the tree to develop to the point where it actually can bring its fruit? And so every tree that bears fruit is like that. In the scriptures, we're told that we're to dedicate a tree that bears fruit to the Lord and to give it time, years, several years before the fruit can be consumed by us. And then we learn to give first fruits as an offering to the Lord. Well, as it is with tree fruit, it is also with human and spiritual fruit. Patience is something you can't get just like that. How does patience get developed? Slowly. And what is the great opportunity for patience? Waiting, right? And even though we all have prayed, "Give me patience now," God doesn't answer that prayer. He develops it in us. What about stamina, endurance, and perseverance? How are they developed? By time. It takes time. Eric has been taking fencing classes, right? And part of fencing is lunging. Oh, just saying it brings a little grimace from Eric. Because to practice lunges, would you even show us a lunge position? Oh, yeah. Yeah, look at this. How are your thighs today, Eric?
They're a little sore.
They're a little sore? Yeah. Look how he's walking. Oh, he's sort of having to drag himself up here. I should have cleared this with you before. Spontaneous thing. Okay, now look at this. Okay, here we go. On guard. You know, I saw that in a movie, right? Okay.
They don't let us do that in class.
No, they don't. Usually, when they say on guard, you gotta. Okay, here we go. And look at that. Look at that position. Oh, you see that? How many times do you have to do that?
One time we had to do 300.
300. Oh, ouch.
I did 150.
You did 150. Give it your best 50%. To do that particular move requires practice and practice. But I remember one day Eric came in and he said, I won a match. What's the name of a match?
A bout.
Yeah. Ooh, a fencing bout. And he was so excited because he actually was victorious. The pain of practice is real, right? Very real. And yet the reward is real too. There are many things in life that are like this that require hard, hard preparation, which comes ma'at, ma'at, little by little. And so the scriptures here convey this idea to us, and it's important for us because many people want the breakthrough now and they want it all at once. But if it came all at once, you would lose the benefit. You couldn't hold on to it. You see people who buy lottery tickets and then win millions and millions, tens of millions of dollars. Typically, within a few years, they're back to the economic condition they were in before. They got a lot, but they couldn't hold on to it. They couldn't keep it. And God knows this, and so he teaches us something through the history of Israel, that God may want to give you a big breakthrough, but it may have to come to you little by little. Now, there will be moments that will be big moments. Crossing the Jordan was one of them. But there's more to the breakthrough than just a moment. There is a continued condition. Yeshua said that it's important to pay attention to the little that you're given and to handle it well. In Luke 16:10, he said, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with very much. And he said in a parable, Matthew 25:23, you've been faithful with a few things, I'll put you in charge of many things. And then I like the warning in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. Zechariah warns us prophetically not to despise the day of small things or the day of small beginnings, because some things are really small. You know, in the prophets, we read about Israel being called, O little Jacob, because there's so few of us. And yet God has decided to do a great thing through the Jewish people. Though we are few in number, he wants to do a mighty thing. And often God will use what's little in order to make a name for himself, to show how great he is. Now there's another idea that's recapped here in Deuteronomy in our Torah portion this week. It's in chapter 8. Starting in verse 7. And I could summarize it, then we'll look at the details. The summary is this: God wants to bless us. He wants to show his favor and his mercy to us. And he also wants us to remember that he is the source of the blessings that he gives, not to forget. But that's one whole idea. God wants to bless us. Now, if you're sitting next to someone who you like, smile at them and tell them God wants to bless them. God wants to bless you. So what's the will of God? The will of God is that he would bless us, right? Now, in order to receive that blessing, we need to be in right relationship with him, and we need to remember him and his blessings and not forget. That's what this passage is all about, starting in verse 7, Deuteronomy 8, verse 7. The Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills. Now that's good news. They've been wandering in the wilderness. Verse 8, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey. That's also good news. What have they been eating? Manna. Whew. Real food. Verse 9, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity. I don't know if that's good news for those who watch carbs, but the idea is expressed in the next phrase, in which you will lack nothing. You'll have everything you need. a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and you're full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he's given you. What does it say to do? Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Baruch Ata Adonai, blessed are you, Lord our God. You bless the Lord your God for the good land that he's given to you. And you say, Lord, every good thing I've received comes from you, and I give thanks to you. You see, God knows something about us, that when we forget the source of blessings, we lose the connection with him and the connection with future blessings. And because he wants to continue to bless us, we've got to hold on to him. And it also requires, as we'll read on starting in verse 11, that we remember where we came from and the situation we were in, and that we have been blessed by God. You see, there are times when we are so desperate, we will cry out in prayer because we know we need a breakthrough and we know we can't get it on our own. And we'll cry out to God and he'll answer us, and then we'll forget because now we're comfortable. We forget where we came from. And one of the reasons we celebrate Pesach is so that we don't forget. And we have the Passover mandate, really, to celebrate the Seder as if we were slaves who were set free. And we don't feel that we've finished the task until we have that experience. Now, Deuteronomy 8, verse 11. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Verse 12, lest, see, here's the warning, when you've eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. How many of you would count all those conditions as being blessed conditions? Then verse 14, when your heart's lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which there were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might put you to the test to do you good in the end. Verse 17, coming back to that thought, when your heart is lifted up and you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. That's the warning. You could receive so many blessings that are truly the answer to the breakthrough God wants to give you, that touches every area of your life. And there may come a time when you forget the condition that you were in. And when that happens, everything's in jeopardy. Because you begin to say, you know what? I did so good. I gained all this wealth. Verse 18. And you remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to gain wealth. Repeat that after me. It is he who gives you power to gain wealth, so that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. Now, one of the reasons Jewish people all over the world are financially prospering is because we take this serious, that it's part of the covenant that we would prosper, that we need to be faithful, and in that faithfulness, we will prosper. Now, it doesn't mean that we cannot be content when we go through times of insufficiency, but it does mean that we have a view that we need to bounce back if things are tough. We need to come back and get back into a position. Why? So that we can be generous. so that we can give to others. We can provide for the poor, for the needy, for the hungry, for the prisoner, for the immigrant, for the widow, for the orphan, so that we can provide for our children and our grandchildren, so that we can leave a lasting inheritance that blesses our families. These are reasons so that we can be generous to the Lord and to His work. And I tell you this, when we give the whole tithe, the tenth, to the Lord, when we bring it to the house of God, it helps us remember that it's God who gives us power to gain wealth. God is the source of that power, and He gives us power to gain wealth. Now, if you don't have enough power, you know what? You want to connect more with God. Not so that you become a crass materialist or you equate all blessing with money, but not that. But God wants you to prosper. Is that correct? God wants you to prosper. He wants you to be faithful. He doesn't want you to be a crass materialist. Do you get that part too? He wants you to be generous. He doesn't want you to measure all your success by money. However, He wants you to prosper. And so He wants you to prosper. And when you give that tithe to the Lord, you're saying, Lord, You're the one who blessed me. I could not do this without You. Now, the moment we become greedy, we start saying, I could do this without You. And that's the warning sign. Now, we'll look at one last idea that is so important. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 4 through 6. This is the idea. It's connected to breakthroughs and kadima, forward motion. It's a warning. We're tempted to think that we are so good, and that's why we're blessed. We're good. God blesses us. Now, how does that work? This is how it can work. Deuteronomy 9, starting in verse 4. Don't think in your heart, after the Lord your God has cast out those other nations from the promised land before you, saying to yourself, because of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. You see, that's a temptation. Whenever God does actually bless you, you know what the temptation is? I finally merited His blessing. It's because I'm good. That's why He blessed us. Here's the warning. Don't say that. It says this. It is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out from before you. You know what that means? It's not because we're so good. It's because they were so bad. That was the answer. What did we do to deserve this? Nothing. Verse 5, it's not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you go in to possess their land, but because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God drives them out from before you, and that He may fulfill the word which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Therefore, understand that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness. Because you're a stiff-necked people. Now, how many of you know Moses is a Jew? How many of you know he's a good Jew? Okay. How many of you know Moses is not an anti-Semite? So when Moses says to Israel, it's not because you're good. He's not being anti-Semitic, right? He's telling the truth. He's speaking for God, God's words to Israel. I love you, but it's not because you're so good. It's not because you earned it. Now, there's a lot of protection in this. When you think you earn it, you think you can easily lose it when you're not good enough. You know what that causes people to do? Instead of admitting sin, we deny it because we're afraid it will jeopardize our relationship with God if we tell him the truth. But when you know that he's good and you're not, and you know he forgives, then with a sincere heart, you can come before him and say, Lord, I fell short again. But my eyes are on you. I'm getting back up to do it again. Now, we have been focusing on Kadima Forward for months now. We're going to stay focused on this for the whole year. And here's the reason. We want to keep moving forward. When you want to go backwards, change congregations. We want to go forward, Kadima. And that requires that we look at breakthroughs and how do we get them? How do we preserve them? And it's so interesting to me that even though we've been talking about these themes, these are contained in this week's reading in order to remind us, which tells me something. Sometimes we want to hurry, but we have to remember. We have to get refreshed. We need a refresher course, a reminder, and we need help to keep going. I find, Janine, you can verify this, that many times when I go to the gym, I'm having a physical parallel lesson to the spiritual lesson that I'm going through as well. I saw Janine this morning. She was at the gym when I was going in. I looked at her and I thought, I hope I look that good when I get out. I walk in. The trainer, Sergey, greets me. And these are the words that come out of his mouth. Today will be harder. And I thought, oh man, I knew something was up. And today was harder. But there's a reason it was harder. Because I want a breakthrough. I want to keep going. I want to get stronger. And he pushed, as he does. At the very end, I think I texted you, didn't I, Janine, what he said? He looked at me and he said, okay, now I'm going to tell you what you're going to eat. And I'm only going to talk to you about carbs. And so he put me on a regimen that has 3 days of almost zero carbs. Yeah, really cool. I can hardly wait, and it starts tomorrow. Now, why am I saying yes? Because I have a vision. I want to get stronger and leaner and healthier. That's the vision. That's why I would go through it. But also because I want a breakthrough, and I found that in the natural and in the spiritual, things relate. And so if I want to be stronger in the spirit, I want to be stronger in my physical sense too, if I can. I want to develop that. And so I'm telling you this because he said to me, Sergey, today will be harder. Now, tomorrow you may wake up and the Holy Spirit says that to you. You may want to go back to sleep. But I tell you this, the only reason a trainer or the Holy Spirit says today will be harder is because he knows you can handle harder and he knows it will make you stronger and you need to be stronger for all that's ahead that you want. And so when you say, okay, bring it on. Let's do it today. And you make a decision to rejoice in the days that are harder. Some days are harder, isn't that true? Some days are harder. Some breakthroughs are worth it. And so I want to encourage you. Don't become a pessimist. I'm not a pessimist. When Sergey said, today will be harder, I did say, oi. That was my first response. But I didn't think I can't do it. I thought, he knows if I can do it. And so I thought, well, if he knows better than I do. If he knows, I'm doing it. I'm going to do my best. And the same with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit says, today is a day where you're going to be strong and you're going to persevere and it's going to be hard and you're going to make it, you know what? Inner strength rises up in you. And then you can be more powerful and more blessed in more situations. So I want to encourage you, life is good. Life can be hard, and life can be real good and hard. But God, who is committed to blessing you, will make you ma'at ma'at, little by little, able to take everything that he wants you to receive. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that you're a truth-telling God. You're not afraid of our reaction. You tell us the truth. We want to be like you. We want to live for you. We want to serve you. We want to be thankful. We want to be generous. We want to give you credit for all the good things you do for us. We know we don't deserve your favor. We know this is your gracious mercy towards us because you're a loving God. You're a faithful God. And you are a covenant-keeping God, and we can depend on you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would renew our strength, refresh us, help us, Lord, that we would gain all that you've set before us and that nothing would be lost. We pray this in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you rise, please? If you're standing by yourself, it's an easy thing to fix. Move and stand with others. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai p'navelecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and give you his shalom in the name of the Prince of Peace, Yeshua our Messiah. Amen. Shabbat shalom.